Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I've been kind of preaching on this for a while, and God laid something on my heart, and I just kind of want to share it with you. Tonight, as I went to bed last night, and man, I tell you what, I was sleepy-eyed. I tried to work on it and couldn't get it. And I was going to preach it this morning. I think God would have me wait. But tonight, our afternoon service at 4 o'clock, I'm going to be preaching on falling. Okay? I'm going to be preaching on falling and things that fall. All right? And I just, what God was dealing with me with last night and what God had laid on my heart, and there's a reason for that, and we see that in Ephesians 6. Okay? And I want you to think of how the Bible talks about them that fell in battle. Them that fell in battle. The Bible says, you know, and there fell in the, you know, in the battle 23,000, or there fell this, or there fell that. I want you to think about that because we're dealing with warfare. We're fighting spirits. We're not fighting one another. We're fighting battles against spirits, and spirits cannot be tempted or moved away with guns, bullets, knives, anything like that. It can't be done that way. We can only win the battle with what God tells us we can win the battle with. By the way, the battle's already won. Amen? Amen. If you were assured of victory, I'm not going to ask who betted on the Super Bowl because I don't want to know. Okay? But there are some that were just, all they've thought that Atlanta was going to run with that thing. And for a long time, it did. Then there were those that stayed on New England's side, and they won. If you were assured of who was going to win the battle, wouldn't you be on their side? Amen. Yeah, but I guess it depends on what they're fighting for. And with Jesus, you're assured of fighting for the right thing and fighting against the wrong things. Amen. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See that word stand? It's very, very important. Because I'm telling you, anybody can fall for the wiles of the devil. You're not too good. You're not too big. And you're not too strong to fall for the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. Now, won't you listen to me now? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, there it is again, in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There it is again. Stand. There it is again, verse 14. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You will not be able to stand the fiery darts. By the way, a dart doesn't necessarily mean like the little darts you throw at a dartboard. Although those would sting, okay? We're talking about fiery arrows or fiery spears or anything launched out against you, okay, that will consume you. That's what fire does. Fire consumes. It eats up. It burns. And if you do not have faith in the work of Christ and what God will do, if you do not have faith in that, if you do not have trust in His Word, you will fall for the wiles of the devil. You'll fall for the fiery darts. Because I've been here for a long time, been preaching here a long time, been part of this church a long time, and I've seen people come and go. I've seen people come in and say, oh yeah, that sounds good. And boy, they say, I believe the Bible. And then the devil just hit them with one thing of false doctrine and boom. They fell for it. They fell for it. Okay? Yes, God help them. Anybody, if you do not have a shield, and that is perfect trust in what God said, That's why it would be wrong for me to stand up here and tell you that as you read your Bible, you're not seeing really what God said as you read your Bible. I'm here to tell you that as you read your Bible, you can believe every word that's on that page. Else you don't have a shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want you to pray for me this morning as we go this message, all right? Pray that I know how to preach it. Pray that I know how to deliver it. God's taking me a little road that I'm going to go on today, and I just want you to lift me up this morning as always. Heavenly Father, I trust you. I don't trust me. I don't trust my emotions. I don't trust my feelings. I don't trust, Lord, too many people in this world. I've just been, Lord, damaged and wounded, dear God, by people. And I trust you, and I trust your word, and I thank you for it. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us to withstand all the things, Father, that come against us. Sometimes, Father, we think that we're not going to make it. Sometimes we think that we're going to perish because of the attack, because of what the devil's trying to do. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would increase our faith. And Father, that we would be able to defend and fend off, Lord, the temptations and the trials, the persecutions, the attacks, Father, that we endure. Father, that you equip us with your word and with our faith, dear God, trusting only in you. And God, that you rise and help us today. Help us as we fight the battle, Lord. We get weary. We get tired. We're not sure we're going to make it. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just guide us today and give us understanding from your word. Father, help us, Father, that we not perish. And help us to stand in the evil day. Father, help us as we preach today. Father, I pray, God, that your blessing be upon me, Lord, as I prepare to preach tonight. God, that you would guide me. And Father, the thing I believe you laid on my heart, pray that you'd help me today. I need your help, Lord, because I'll preach in the flesh, and I don't want to do that. These are your people. They're not mine. I pray, God, Lord, that you would help me to handle this message with fear and reverence. Fear of you and fear of your word, Father. Pray that you bless it now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Just kind of take a look up on the screen. That is daylight. That is daylight. When daylight's around, darkness isn't. Okay, it's very simple. Very simple things I'm giving you. When the sun is shielded by the shadow of the earth, there is no sun, but there is darkness. And when that darkness arises, rulers of darkness will appear. Now, again, you look up here on the screen, you see stars. That's because it's dark. That's because the sun has faded off, and that's when they come out. That's when they rule. Stars have no power to rule over daylight. And I want you to get that in your mind. I want you to get that, what that means. That devils, represented by stars in the Bible, devils have no power to rule over you when the sunlight is up. They have no power over you. They have no power against you. They have no power to rule. They have no power to control you as long as the daylight is present. But when it's night, when it's dark, and it will be dark. You say, well, bless God, I believe my Bible all the time, and I'm just shielded all the time by God's sunlight. Not true. Amen. Sun goes down on you just like it goes on me. Amen. You have dark days, don't you? You have times when you're not sure, times when you doubt, times when you're not strong, times when you sleep, thank God he lets us sleep all night, amen. But even sleep in the Bible is a picture of what? Death. And sometimes we get in positions where things have died off. And rulers of darkness are always going to be there. Always. Okay? Now, I got to figure out where I'm going to pick this thing up at. Hang on here. Turn to Psalm 44. That's where we're going to go. Psalm 44. I want you to think Bible. And I want you to think of the kind of creatures that God put on this earth that only come out at night. Okay? Jared said he saw a big coyote over in this field over here. Why didn't you shoot him? I don't think that's city limits up there. I think you can blast him and get away with it. Okay? Coyotes normally are creatures of night. They're scavengers. They're looking for things that are, listen, they're like dogs. They're looking for things that are easy. Easy to kill. Easy to eat. Usually some dead thing. At deer season, we got those old deers out. And sure enough, you hear the coyotes at night yelping. Okay? They found the gut pile. Or they found some deer carcass that some hunter didn't pick up. You're going to hear them out there. Primarily, they're creatures of night. And they're roaming and looking for an easy prey. I want you to remember that. At times in your life, when the Word of God is closed and the sun is not shining, at times in your life, these creatures will come out and they are looking for an easy kill. They're looking for something that's asleep in the night. There are creatures that only exist, that only live and only thrive when the darkness is around. Creatures that are only comfortable in night. And I believe there's devils like that too. In fact, years ago, I wanted to know certain things in the Bible. I wanted to know about dragons. I wanted to know what it was they were like. I wanted to know what the Bible taught me about them. Dragons include anything like of a reptile, a snake, or a lizard. If you go all the way back to dinosaurs, that's what dragons represent. I believe in dragons. Amen? I believe there is one in particular that I'm always concerned about. So now watch this. One of the things that I picked up on in my study was that dragons love darkness. Dragons love, they thrive, and they do their thing when darkness is around. Think about it. Psalm 44:19, though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death. The shadow of death in the Bible is equated with darkness. The grave, I've never yet seen neon lights in a casket. Have you? Never seen a grave site where they put in big nice lights? I've seen some where they put in cans of beer. That got me a little upset. Because the guy they buried died because he was too drunk to be driving the car that he was in, and his buddies slipped in cans of Bud Light into his casket before they closed it so he could be buried with them. And I kind of thought, well, where he's going, he'll need them. But he won't have them. The grave is always dark. And that's anything where death is and where death thrives and where a death mentality survives, that's where dragons are. They will always be around the shadow of death. What is the spiritual meaning behind this, Brother Mike? The Bible says that we at one time were dead in trespasses and sins. Any place in life where sin is allowed to thrive, that's darkness. That's death. And that's where the spirits will be. That's where the dragons will be. That's where the rulers of darkness will be. Up here at this bar up here. That at one time in this state used to have to be closed on Sunday. Remember those days? Remember the blue laws? Okay, we had to teach our kids about blue laws. Well, at one time you couldn't buy alcohol on Sunday. And our kids went, what? Oh, yeah. And they said, okay, let me get this straight. You couldn't buy alcohol on Sunday, but you could smoke in the hospital at Walmart. Yeah, that's how it was. So they kind of think it's a messed up world a little bit. Anyway. But any place we're sitting, up here at this Legion Hall up here, where they got an open bar, and they got all that stuff going on up there. You know what? There's dragons all in that place. Who's ever had the nightlife bar scene in their life at one time before? Am I telling you what's right? You've been to those places, haven't you? You know what it's like. You know what's in there. You know what kind of devils are in there. And you know what they try to tell you while you're in there. See that guy over there? He's married, but he's looking. Once you go over there and look at him, he'll look back. Dragons. Hey, see that gal at the bar? She's left her husband. She's looking. Won't you look at her? Won't you go over there, sit by her, and buy her a drink? That's dragons. Maybe I can score that tonight. That's dragons. That's death. Are you with me? What do dragons do? Revelation chapter 12. There is in verse 3, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. Who is this? It's Satan. It's the old devil. It's the dragon, the serpent. That's who he is. What is he wanting to do? The woman is about ready to give birth to a man-child who's going to rule all nations with the rod of iron. Do you know who that is? Because when he comes, his name is called the Word of God. Amen. 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 Here's a sinner now, and he's come to a church service because he's feeling guilty about his life. And a preacher preached a message to him. And he's under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the Word has gone forth in his life. And then that afternoon, no surprise, but his buddies invite him to go out and play pool with them that night. Why did those guys invite that guy on that particular day, after he heard the message, to go to the bar that night? Why? So the devil could devour the Word of God. What does we know, Brother Gary, about these young converts that come in? We know that there's a critical time in their life. Because they're born again. And there is a critical time in them that we've got to keep the dragons away. Or they'll get devoured as soon as they're born. The dragons, and the thing that you need the most while you're in the darkness is the light. And the dragon knows that once you turn the light on, he don't like it. He's like vampires going, ah. Wasn't that how it worked in the vampire movies? All you gotta do is they go over and open the curtains. The dragon or the vampire goes, turn to dust. If they're that simple, just get your Bible out. Amen. They don't like the light. They love to live in darkness. And as long as the light is on in that man's life or that woman's life, he knows he doesn't stand a chance. So he's going to try to devour whatever was told you, whatever was preached to you, whatever verse you opened up and read, he's going to try to devour that as soon as it comes out. So you're in a place right now, listen to me. Hey, I'm not preaching to all these people up at the smokehouse up here. I'm preaching to God's people. Now you listen to me. Because you're wondering why you're having such a hard time praying. You're wondering why you're having such a hard time reading your Bible. And why when you read it, it doesn't seem like anything's happening. You are being warred against rulers of darkness that do not want that light to come on, people. You know who I'm preaching this to? I'm preaching this, number one, to me. Because I need to hear it. First person I'm preaching to. Second person I'm preaching to is my wife and my family. We need to hear it. Then I'm preaching to you guys. Then I'm preaching to all you guys. Without the Word of God and the light of God in our lives, the dragons will show up. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 32. What's so dangerous about them being around? Deuteronomy 32 verse 31. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Now I want you to watch this. Where is a serpent's venom located? Under their tongue. The Bible talks about the serpent's poison coming out of their mouth. When lost people are talking, usually it's poison coming out of their mouth. Usually in the form of, get ready, because I'm fixing to get mad here in a minute, because this really burns me. Curse words in public. Okay? Now I know I try not to be as old-fashioned as I want to be, but to me, if you're out standing in line at McDonald's and kids are running all over the place, you ought not be dropping F-bombs all over your conversation. And if I tell you that you ought not be doing that, don't get mad at me. Because if you get mad at me, I'll just get mad right back. Because I don't think you ought to be doing that. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, it's poisoning our children's minds and some of the talk that's going on. In fact, I'm going to get particular with it. So just ride with me for a minute, all right? I actually got, for some reason, I got the songs done early. And I'm kind of getting an early start, which means I can put more in by the time we get out of here at 1 o'clock. See, I know that laugh. It's a very nervous laugh. Dragons poison people. They'll poison family members against you. While you're trying to live for the Lord, you've got dragons feeding into people that's around you how you ought not be living for the Lord, and how you've fallen into that cult over there, that church over there, and you know why? They don't want you bringing sunlight into that place. And they will kick and fuss and poison. This is a battle that each one of us is having to deal with. It's real. In Psalm chapter 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. By the way, you can turn your Bible to every place I'm putting up on the screen. Don't be lazy. Either turn your Bible there or write them down, turn to them later. See, I like that sound. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. Now, I want you to watch this. Here's somebody who's got a dragon in their life. They're lost. They're rebellious against God. I want you to look up here for a minute. They are all mouth and no ears. Have you ever noticed that snakes do not have earlobes? You ever notice that? A snake never goes, what'd you say? They don't have any ears. And the people around you, what they want to do is they want to poison you, and they want to get out what they want you to do. But when you start saying, but Jesus said, I don't want to hear that. They're not going to listen to you. They're like a dragon. And if you don't believe that, have them show you the tattoo they had put on.
Sure.
The meaning of that, you get it, they speak lies, but will not listen to truth or reason. God, and you've heard people say this, God gave you one mouth, two ears. Watch this. Where can we find dragons? Buckle your seatbelt, because I'm going to put pictures of it up on the screen. You ready? Megan, you went to Festus, right? They tried to teach you evolution? Tried to teach you homosexuality was okay? The teachers, student body, trying to draw you away. They're full of poison, but they didn't want to hear it. Because I told my mom. And my mom told the preacher, Preacher Goff, and Preacher Goff called the school, and the next thing I'm getting called into the principal's office because I didn't want the teacher teaching that homosexuality was okay. And this was a psychology class. You know, the teacher. You had her. And the principal's saying, well, I go to church. And in our church, we really don't have a problem with it. And I was 16 years old and I saw through that.
Amen.
You go to the wrong church then. Come to ours.
Amen.
Because it ought not be taught.
Amen.
But just get it in your mind that there's dragons all in this place and they're going to feed poison. Dragons? Whiskey will lie to you. That's why you shouldn't drink it. Wine. Bible says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, if you want to try to argue against that, you be my guest. Just get ready to get your Bible out with me. Well, we have a little drink every now and then. It don't hurt anything, really. One lie? One lie does not hurt anything. Because that's the first one that alcohol tells. Is that we don't hurt anything. Dragons. Each one of these bottles, they used to call them spirits for a reason. Think dragons live there?
Yeah.
Think you've seen dragons there?
Oh, yeah.
TV's full of it. It is full of dragons. I dare you to sit down and watch what your children watch as far as cartoons on Disney or Nickelodeon. Just watch one day's worth. You're going to see magic, sorcery, witchcraft, rebellion, fornication. You're going to see it all. Kids programs. Who do you think's putting these out? Dragons. Dragons. Dragons in music. Katy Perry singing, I kissed a girl and I like it. And she grew up in church. Don't tell me that you're trying to raise your kids right. She grew up in church and she admitted that she sold her soul to the devil. She admitted it. On camera, she admitted it. You can go to YouTube and find the tape. That's poison. It is poisoning our children's minds when they listen to that stuff coming in their ears. And I was a child of the 70s, and I can show you the 70s music that was full of it. And I couldn't name you one song right now that's out popular right now, top 40. I couldn't name one of them because I don't listen to it. But I guarantee you, you give me a week and I could pull up lyrics that I would not be able to show in a church service. And that's not just rock and roll. Get ready. This is going to shock you. Okay? It's our church. It's right here, Frankie. I love this church. But if we're not careful, you'll bring dragons in here. I'll do it too. Dragons have no place in here. So this is why when I preach Bible verses. Because that my preaching does not keep dragons away. The Word does. Through me. Jesus said, I'm the light of the earth. He said, you're the light of the earth. Okay? Both of us together. But if we're not careful, we'll bring dragons into this place. They'll come in with us. You got to be careful, people. Now watch this. Take your Bible, turn to Job 30. I'm going to show you, this is going to be deep. This is going to get serious now. Very serious. Because I saw this last night. I've had this verse. I mean, I had it in my notes for a long time. Didn't really pay much attention to it. So I didn't say nothing about it until I kind of got to looking at it. And I thought, man, look at that. And when we read this verses, I'm going to give you illustration by way of a true story that happened. And I know it happened because I was part of the happening. Rulers of darkness will accompany people. There will be people who will come in and present themselves into your life that you may not know it at the time, but they've got devils just swirling all around them. It's like that cartoon of Pigpen from Charlie Brown. Every time he walks, there's just stuff just flying out of him, right? Flies and dirt and all that stuff. He's got a cloud around him, right? That is some people. Their life is so full of Satan and rebellion. Their life is so full of devils that everywhere they go, the devils just come with them. Now, let me tell you how this works. In fact, let me read the Bible. Job 30, verse 26. We're talking about, when I looked for good, then evil came unto me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness. And then he said, I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. That means we're all like part of the same team. Everywhere that he went, the dragons were there. And every place he went to, the owls were there. By the way, owls are creatures of darkness. And they love to feed on flesh, don't they? And they're just sitting. God gave them eyes to see. Watch this. God gave these spirits eyes to see what you cannot see. And as soon as the daylight comes up, owls, I don't know where they go, nest, someplace, a barn somewhere, hide out until the light goes down, then they come right back out again. So don't think that because you opened your Bible one time and you read a verse, well, they're going, bless God, I don't have to worry about that no more. Because I guarantee you, daylight comes around, darkness does too. They'll come back. They'll come back in your home. They'll come back in your life, your church. So this is why God is teaching us and training us to fight these things. So know what they are. Amen. Know your enemy. Know what area of life that God needs to shine light in your life. Where there are some things you don't want light shed on it. Don't tell me you don't. I do. And I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm a brother to dragon and companion to owls. Several years ago, Brother Bob Tebow asked me to preach a week's worth of preaching down at Friel Baptist Youth Camp. And I struggled because I thought, should I be clown? Should I be Crazy Judy? Okay? Should I be my mom down there preaching to them? Or should I just lay it out to them and lay it on them? And so I'm preaching to primarily preteen campers, kids. But I'm preaching the Bible, I'm preaching verses, and I'm preaching to these kids about sin, about hell. I mean, I'm not trying to be Mr. Happy Clown up here. I am laying it out to them. And God was really responding that week. I'll never forget it. And the Thursday night message, I was really struggling with, you know, God, what am I going to leave them with? And I had a message prepared on how these young people could latch onto their Bible. When they left camp, they were going to go back into some situations where there was just full of, some homes are just full of devils. And we felt sorry for these kids going back into it. Because what are we going to give to them that'll last? And God said, the Bible lasts. Why don't you give them Bibles? So I was going to preach a message on the power of the Word of God. And just as I got up to preach, I just started in the message. And I noticed that some of the camp workers were walking up and down the pews, and they were looking in each pew. And after a while, it became obvious that there was something going on. And I stopped and I said, what's going on? They said, we got a girl missing. We got a camper missing. And they said, probably what we need to do is have all the campers go back to their cabin so we can get a count. We need to find out who's missing and where they're missing. We need to find them. Well, that just broke the service off right then and there. Now let me back up and give you the rest of the story. There's a man, Brother Gary, I know you know him, was a pastor, and his wife decided she didn't want to be married to a man anymore. She decided she wanted to be a lesbian. So she wrote out, found her a bunch of lesbian gals to whore around with. She divorced that man, and she moved in. She had her a gal, and this man now had to share his kids between him on weekends and her during the week and her lesbian partner. And I knew her. Well, his kids were there at camp that week. And lo and behold, about 30 minutes before the service started, her and her lesbian pulled up in the camp and planted themselves in the back of the tabernacle, just staring at me. And I felt, you know, before the service started, I thought, Lord, she ain't right. And God was teaching me something that night. Mike, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you what kind of spirit is around some of these people. Now, don't think for a minute that I'm exclusively speaking about those who are homosexual, because I'm not. You can be straight as an arrow, and your life be full of dragons and owls. You're a companion to them, and you like what they like. You like flesh. You like fleshly things. And those spirits destroyed that whole service. Chaos everywhere. Can I show you something from your Bible? Isaiah 34:11. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. Confusion and chaos everywhere. And those kids had the kids scattered. There was a girl missing. Nobody knew where she was. So everybody go to their cabin. And it took them like 2.5 hours till they finally found the child. And she was a little girl that had some problems. And I don't know what happened to her, but she was hidden away in a closet. And they finally found her. Well, all the kids were in the cabins. And it's like 9:30 at night. And I'd ask Brother Bob and ask some of the other guys. I said, what are we going to do? They said, well, you're the preacher. It's up to you. And I don't know what to do, man. It's late. I'm not kidding you. I had a little girl come up to me and she said, Preacher Mike. I said, yes. She said, are you going to finish church? Because I wanted to hear you preach tonight. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you what. God mopped up stuff all over that place that night, including a pastor that I knew. I didn't know it at the time. He was really struggling with whether or not the Bible was even the Word of God. And that night, he came forward to my preaching. And I know he didn't really favor me in a lot of areas. But he came down. He came up to thank me. And he said, thank you, Mike, for preaching that. He said, you didn't know how bad I needed that. And he said, I was turning away from the Bible. And he said, thank you for restoring my faith in the Word of God. Here's what I want you to be aware of. Number one, I may, as your pastor, as the shepherd, sense that something ain't right in the church. Did you know that I've been doing this long enough that you may be very surprised at who it might be, where their life is full of owls, dragons, and confusion. And every place that, by the way, the service came as a result of this lesbian and her lesbian partner finally just took the kids and say, well, they're not going to do anything tonight, we're going home, and they left. And I'm just telling you, You be careful about who you hang around outside of this church house. You're grown adults. You can hang around whoever you want to. That's right. But the consequences are going to be great. Because there are some people sold out to the devil, full of mouth, and have no ears. They have no intention on listening to you. They're probably not ever going to be saved. And their life is so full of devils that every time, every place, watch this now, every place they plant themselves, it's a, look up there on the screen, I have it underlined, verse 13. That place becomes a habitation of dragons. And I haven't been giving you all of it. You know what they'll do? You know what I found out owls and dragons do? They love to build a nest. You know what that means to them? We have found a place comfortable for us to live, and we're going to stay right here. And we're not about to leave. But I tell you what we are going to do, because what does a bird do with a nest? Have babies. You're fixing to find out that there's more of them on the way. And if you think getting rid of one of them is bad, try getting rid of 100 of them or 1,000 of them. And I'm telling you that there are people that you know their life is full of spirits and full of devils, and all they want is darkness. Paul told us to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Did he not? Do you understand why? Because light has no communion with darkness. In any place they are, God will not be. In any place God is, they won't be. Now, God forbid that we ever have an infestation. Brother Gary, it's kind of funny. Every now and then, there's a couple of wasps that will make it out during the service. And I can't, in dead of winter, they'll just be flying around here. There's a nest of them somewhere. We ain't found them yet. Okay? That's my point. From time to time, we will get that in here. We're all human. Me, on down to you. What we need to do then is keep coming back here, keep opening this book up, and get us a steady dose of sunshine radiation. Amen. Ultraviolet light, amen? Because they don't like it. And it should ever happen that I find out that somebody here is infested, I will do everything I can for that person to rid them of it. But if I can't, they will be gone. I love you. But if we have to cut off the right hand every now and then, so be it. Because I don't want to lose the body. Make sense? I want us to pray. You're more than welcome to come down here if you want. You're more than welcome to spend some time tonight with every head bowed. I want you to just listen to me now for every head bowed. This service is going to continue 4:00 this afternoon. And I promise you tonight, after our service tonight, this afternoon, 4:00, that we're going to pray at the altar. And we'll preach about falling. Things that fall. You pray for me because I don't have the message written up yet. So you pray for me as I put it together. Pray that I do it how God wants me to do it. But I'm pretty sure God wants me to preach that tonight. So I'm going to do that. But everything I do here is to keep you and to keep me from being a habitation of rulers of the darkness of this world. Everything I do here. Everything I've done with my family as my children were growing up was Lisa and I doing that. We're trying to keep people with dragons out of their lives. Because some people just carry them with them. And they have no intention of listening to the gospel. That's sad, but it's true. And so I want you to pray this morning. Pray for the message that it would go out and do what God wants it to do. Pray that it would speak to us here. And just pray about areas of life where you suspect in your life. It's not for you to worry about somebody else. Areas of your life where you suspect dragons, if they find it, they might like to live there and you don't want them there. So we're going to pray this morning. We're going to pray that God will shine the light. God's going to be the Terminex inspector. He's going to come through our house. He's going to shine a big, bright flashlight in areas of our life where he suspects rodents and creatures of the night might be housed up. You never know. You might actually find bats in your belfry. You might find an area where there's a dragon nest fixing to be formed. And God's word will show you that. And you can do something about it before it's too late.